You know, raising kids has never been easy, but today's environment, I think, makes it even more difficult, especially when we talk about raising boys. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for staying with us on the Ideas Network. Our next guest is an expert on how to help boys move beyond persistent gender stereotypes and become healthy, emotionally healthy adults. Jennifer Fink, our guest today. She's the creator of buildingboys.net and a co-host of the podcast On Boys, Real Talk About Parenting, Teaching, and Reaching Tomorrow's Men. And her new book, I just had a chance to read it and liked it a lot. Her new book is Building Boys, Raising Great Guys in a World That Misunderstands Males. So as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about raising boys? Do you wish you had done things differently when your boys were young? And maybe we can talk a bit about, as well, stereotypical gender roles, how that has affected your life, perhaps, or the lives of your children. You can join in by giving us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Jennifer Fink, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So here you're looking at somebody who's the father of four girls.
So you're a true expert in this field.
I have no expertise at all, other than the fact that I was once a boy.
Right.
And as I read through your book, I recognized a lot of things. I could think back to when I was a boy.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah. And also, I think especially my youngest daughter, who happens now to be a college sophomore.
Okay.
When she was going through grade school, for example, and observing her, she was kind of a teacher's pet type, but the boys were often the ones that were frowned upon for their being too active. And so let's talk, what are some of the difficulties that boys face in today's world?
That's really interesting, because if your youngest daughter is a college sophomore, it's very likely that the boy she was in class with that were getting trouble, it's the same as my boys right now. Yeah. I just had one graduate from college this weekend. I have one who's still a high school junior. Boys tend to be. We have to remember, we're talking about people, and there's a wide range of normal. But boys, as you know from being a boy, they tend to be very, you know, curious, experiential learners. They push boundaries. They discover where the boundaries are by blowing past them so often. They experience the world with their full bodies. And girls do a lot of this too, but there's not as much tolerance for that kind of behavior. And I do think that is something that has gradually shifted over the last 50 years or so.
Yeah, I was thinking back, my and I've told this story, I think, one other time on the air. My very first day in school, I had to stay in from recess because I was supposed to write the alphabet out, and I wrote the whole alphabet out. Well, I got done with that in a hurry, and I thought, but I didn't have any other paper.
Right.
So I wanted to draw something, so I erased it all. And started to draw something. And the teacher came over and said, well, you didn't do the alphabet. And I said, well, yeah, I did, but I was done and I wanted something else to do. And she said, well, you can stay in during the recess.
And that was the day you learned, do no more than what is asked of you.
That is the day I learned to do what I was told and make sure that I hung on to it.
Wow. Yeah, so many boys lose recess. I mean, that is a huge, huge thing, right? And
I didn't know at the time because I hadn't been one.
Well, how would you? That was the day.
Actually, you talk about recess
a lot. I
do. You're the mother of four boys.
Yeah.
So what surprised you the most about how society looked at how they should or shouldn't act?
Yeah. Growing up as a girl, right, I was very aware of stereotypes that sort of hinder girls, right, and how you're held back. And so I was aware that gender stereotypes and expectations hold women back, hold girls back, keep them from experiencing certain opportunities. I knew that. I was totally unaware that gender stereotypes affect boys and men too. I just was. I was clueless. And I did not realize that there are a lot of people that will look at boys and assume trouble before they assume good intent. I didn't fully realize how, you know, the pressure to behave in certain ways to get acceptance from your peers sometimes drive boys to maybe ignore some of their own interests in favor of fitting in. And certainly girls do that too, but the expectations are different. You know, it's not a cool thing to tell your guy friend how much you care about him when you are a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, we encourage, and this is, this goes back, I'm trying to think, it goes back a ways that we encourage and tell girls, and I certainly did, mm-hmm. tell my daughters, you can be anything, you can do anything you want. But that does have an impact on boys too. You tell there's a story in your book about that, as I remember.
It seems to me that we have done a better job over the recent decades of saying that and achieving it with girls than we have with boys. So I'm wearing a pair of pants today, and nobody's paying any attention to that. If a boy wants to put fingernail polish on his nails, that still in many places just raises all kinds of alarm bells. I commonly see in parenting groups somebody who their young boy has expressed an interest in a doll, they buy it for him, and there's somebody within the family that's all upset he shouldn't have that. So we haven't expanded the boundaries in the same way for boys as we have for girls. And it's interesting because you and I both know that, you know, society has been shifting. There have been more women who also work, more women who do all kinds of things, but we don't yet have as many boys or men moving into fields like teaching, for instance, which is mm-hmm. incredibly gendered. It's something like 90-some% female versus male. Social work, caregiving work. And we're limiting our boys when we don't give them options to be whoever they are. I'd love all of our boys, just like all of our girls, like all children, just to have the opportunity to be who they are, to do what they want without facing all these social penalties and judgments from others.
You know, I may have possibly should have started with this, but tell us, tell our listeners how your book, you know, your book's organized and what you go through in the book. Give us a thumbnail on that.
So this book is really aimed at parents of boys of all ages. It's as applicable if you have a 4-year-old as if you have a 14-year-old. If you have a 24-year-old, you're still going to enjoy it, I think. And it's organized around 10 basic rules. And these are very, very broad guidelines because what I have learned through my years of parenting, as I'm sure you did as well, right? Every kid is different. You cannot handle every situation by the books. You need some broad guidelines, and then you have to tailor it. So there are 10 broad guidelines, and I start with learn the terrain, which is basically kind of understand where are some of the pain points? What are some of the issues that you and your boys are likely to encounter? And other ones include emphasize emotional intelligence, discuss and demonstrate healthy relationships, let him struggle, So that takes us through four of them, but there's a broad set of 10 guidelines. And then we go into how these specifically affect boys and some of the science behind them, and then real life stories and very actionable tips that parents can use with their kids.
Yeah, I think that's all very valuable. And I do like the stories. They add, I don't know what, they add more interest to me as I read it. You know, things, stories that any of us can relate to. And I could say, yeah, I've seen that happen now that you bring it up. I think you do a really nice job with it. And it's really fun and interesting to read, and you're going to learn a lot as you read it. And certainly we're going to talk more about it. We've got the whole book to talk about here. And we've got Jack in Lake Geneva who wants to talk about gender stereotypes. Jack, stay with us. We're going to take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back to talk with Jack from Lake Geneva and you as well. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address ideas@wpr.org. Jennifer Fink, our guest, she is the author of Building Boys, Raising Great Guys in a World That Misunderstands Males. Stay with us. I'm Larry Neither. We're talking about raising emotionally healthy boys on the show right now. Larry Miller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. With us, Jennifer Fink, author of the book Building Boys, Raising Great Guys in a World That Misunderstands Males. And she's the creator of buildingboys.net as well. She co-hosts the podcast On Boys, Real Talk About Parenting, Teaching, and Reaching Tomorrow's Men. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments about raising boys. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And quite a few callers. Let's go to the phones. Jack in Lake Geneva, we'll give you a chance to join in. Thank you for calling.
Thanks a lot for taking my call. Like Larry, I was once a boy, so I find this fascinating topic. In the introduction to the show, Larry, you mentioned that we're going to deal with stereotypes here, and it made it sound like the stereotypes you were thinking of were all negative about young boys. And then the specific example of a stereotype that was given later was about a stereotype of not to play with dolls, for example, or boys who play with dolls should be criticized, whatever. I was wondering, and having heard that, I was going to ask if you had any examples of positive stereotypes about boys. And I think, in my opinion, went on and listed some, which was their tendency to learn by experience, experiential learners, blowing past boundaries, et cetera, which is, I don't know. Do you think those are negative stereotypes or positive stereotypes, those scientifically backed stereotypes you just listed there. Right?
Yeah, Jack, thank you very much for calling. Jennifer?
That is a really interesting point. I realized as you were talking that in my mind, I tend to think of stereotypes broadly as negative things. And when I think of positives, I tend to think of them as characteristics, positive characteristics. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, boys and men have all kinds of wonderful positive characteristics. I mean, again, broad range, but just this enthusiasm. And one of the things that I tend to note more in boys and men is this tendency to find the humor in things, to find ways around some of the limitations that society builds up, and laugh about things. Boys and men, in my experience, don't hold on to things quite as long as girls and women do. It's kind of a cliche. You know, you'll hear about guys getting mad at each other and then they will have it out, sometimes physically, and then it's done. It's done. I think that is a beautiful thing. The tendency towards protection right? And to want to serve others and be a useful part of their communities. Our societies have relied on that for as long as we have been on this planet.
Yeah, good points. Jack, thanks. Interesting question. Appreciate it. Dennis in Two Rivers, we go to you now. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. People need to be careful what they wish for, because if they get it, they might not get all the positives. Just like some women would wish for the strong silent type, but then they complain, well, the guy never talks to me.
Yep.
Or they want some muscular guy, but they don't realize how many hours it takes to get that physique and how many hours it takes to maintain it. Or a guy wants this pretty girl who doesn't want to go out in the rain or do anything
right.
That will mess up her appearance.
Her hair.
Well, what do you think, Jennifer?
He's so right about that. He's so right. We all think we know what we want, and you know, those of us who are in any kind of a relationship, romantic relationship, with a roommate, with our children, we so often wish if only they would be more this, and that's just not how it is. You know, my life raising boys, at times it seems like it would have been a whole lot simpler if they would just sit still, be quiet, and do what I tell them to do. But they would not have grown into who they are and who they needed to be. And neither would I have grown into the person I needed to be. So, you know, Dennis, your point that we need to just learn to accept and embrace and sometimes tolerate these characteristics, I love that.
Thank you very much for calling. Daryl in Menominee Falls, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Daryl.
Hi. I just wanted to express a stereotype that I think that holds boys and men back is not being able to express their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
There's always this thing about guys should be really tough. They should be into sports, especially, you know, why aren't you into sports? You know, every guy's into sports. Well, not everybody, it's not an interest on everybody, but they should be tough. Don't talk about your feelings. And I think that really holds men back, especially when they get older. They don't have any emotional maturity to figure things out.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
No, and I think that's really a big stereotype that holds boys and men back as they grow older.
Yeah, or a stereotype or I think characteristic.
I think it's both, personally.
Both? Yeah.
I think it is both. I think some of it, and people are going to argue about this as long as there's people. I think there is some innate qualities to this. Boys in general, especially young boys, are not as verbal as girls, so less likely to be able to verbalize their feelings. But going back to boy babies are actually more emotionally expressive than girl babies. They physically express their emotions. And we do kind of, our society has long sort of taught that out of boys. You have all heard it, you know, don't cry. You mentioned this, it's 2023. And so often people meeting a boy will still ask about sports first and foremost. Those expectations are there. And Daryl is absolutely right. I mean, there is a mental health crisis and males commit suicide, die of suicide at a rate 4 times that of girls and women. There is a direct correlation here. We have not spent as much time teaching our boys how to express, experience, and productively express these emotions. You know, for so long, anger has kind of been the only acceptable emotion. And we have all seen numerous examples of how that harms boys, men, girls, women, and our societies at large. And so that's one of the major things we have to do. And that is why chapter 2 of my book is about helping boys develop emotional intelligence. Emotions are a human thing, and we need to equip all humans with how to productively deal with these emotions.
Yeah, you do a nice job in that chapter, Jennifer, for sure. Daryl, thank you very much. John in Mount Horeb, I'll give you a chance. Hi, John.
Oh, hi. I was just, you know, the news clip, I turned on the radio, and the news clip just before Wisconsin, your program, was talking about the typical minority this and that. And I'm just so sick of the media completely ignoring ordinary middle class, whatever you call them, traditional Americans. And the only thing worthy of talking about, particularly in a positive light, is some special interest group, a minority, whatever. And this business of shaming people and saying that this is nothing to be proud of for an ordinary, particularly white boy.
Well, what do you think, Jennifer?
It's a tough thing, right? Those of us who are in the middle, especially right now, the edges always get attention. The outliers get attention. Dramatic things get attention. And so people who are living your lives tend to be overlooked. I have white boys. And it sounds funny to say, you know, well, our needs are being overlooked, because it's not entirely true. Everything that is true about boys. So boys, for instance, experiencing more discipline in schools than girls. It's a proven fact. Boys being more likely to get in trouble both in schools and in communities for things that they do compared to girls and women. Everything that is true for boys is almost extra true for black boys, for brown boys. So there are issues that need attention. At the same time, I think we need to give space to and listen to people who feel overlooked, who are struggling to understand what's going on, especially when it comes to boys. As a woman, I have learned that it is hard to get people who don't have boys to care about boys. People look around and they see men in positions of power, often white men, and they're like, what is the problem? What is the problem? They're doing fine. We have to remember that the boys who are here did not create those problems and often don't even know about those problems. My boys don't know that in the 1970s, women couldn't get credit cards unless their husband signed for it. They don't know those things. And so I think that we have to all make space to listen to each other and care about what's affecting each of us. It's all valid. We have to honor that, and we have to respond to that.
John, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Let's take a call from Rita in Oak Creek. Hi, Rita.
Hello, and I just want to say I bought my young son a Cabbage Patch Kid when he was a baby in 86, and now he's a teacher.
Very good.
Young males, that blowing past limits.
Yeah.
If a teacher, male or female, says, raise your hand if you have the answer, and a boy will blurt out the answer and still get credit even though he didn't raise his hand. And as an adult male, he might be the guy at a business meeting who blurts out an idea while the females have been demure and waited their turn to talk. I'm not saying I have the answers. I'm just saying that blowing past limits should be available for both genders.
Oh, yeah. You would agree with that, Jennifer.
Yes, I hear you. You're absolutely right. And so I think that those of us who are parenting or teaching or working with young boys, here's one thing that I see happening. Those of us who are adults, and especially if we're women and we have seen guys get ahead by blowing past the limits while we're following the rules, it's frustrating. And so a lot of times we will see a young boy blowing past a limit and want to come down hard on that, because we don't want that boy to be a boy who speaks out of turn, who holds back others, who doesn't respect others' time, limits, or expertise. We might be talking about a five-year-old boy who was just super enthusiastic for a minute. So, Rita, yes, we need to encourage girls to also freely express their enthusiasm and respect that boys do this sometimes and teach them limits. Show them how to respect boundaries, how to listen to others. It's not in all one way or in all the other way. I think all of these things have to happen. We have to make it easier for all people to express themselves and teach everybody how to respect others.
And in terms of the class, in terms of boys in class and so forth, I thought as I was reading through the book, you know, it'd be good for teachers to have a look at this at the book. What do you think?
Yes. The book is written primarily towards parents, but I would love for more teachers to read this. I have slyly suggested to some people that this would be a great gift to give to your son's teacher.
Because it does sort of demystify why boys kind of do what they do. And in the book, you actually, I think, suggest that because of, you go through, there's a little about the developmental stages. And you suggest that if you've got a boy that's, could go, maybe go early, it might even be better to hold boys back a year just because of the developmental stages.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that I did not know until I had boys and until I really started researching this, and by the way, I started digging into this research because I ended up with boys and I did not understand what was going on. I needed to survive my own life. So even though I do have a little bit of a background in child development, I was a nurse before I was a writer. So I went to school. I studied human development. I also am the oldest of six siblings. So, you know, I grew up around kids. I did a lot of babysitting. But I did not realize that the pace of male development is different than the pace of female development. So at birth, a male child is typically less cognitively and physically mature than a female infant. And that continues for quite a while, so that when our kids are in school, when our kids are, you know, four or five starting school, a girl, her fine motor skills are typically ahead of the average boy at that age. The parts of the brain that handle language and are so important for reading and speaking are typically more mature in girls at that age than boys. A boy may lag approximately 2 years behind in that. If you think about that, it makes perfect sense why so many boys struggle with reading and writing and get frustrated. And then because early school is all about reading and writing, I don't care about this. I hate this place. And they mentally start checking out. They think this isn't for them because it's easier to say I don't like something than to say it's hard for me, especially when you're a boy. And this continues through, you know, adolescence. Anybody who has ever looked at a group of 15-year-old girls and a group of 15-year-old boys, you can tell that there are physical and emotional maturity differences. As adults, we catch up, but when we don't take that into consideration with our boys, when we are expecting them to behave the way that we think an 8-year-old should behave or a 16-year-old, we're setting everybody up for disappointment and misunderstanding.
So you're actually, I think at some point, there are many people at least who suggest holding your child back a year.
Yeah. So another great book about boys that came out in the past year, Richard V. Reeves wrote a book called Of Boys and Men. And he takes a much more, a broad level, looks at the data and considers society and social implications, possible societal fixes. And he recommends perhaps holding all boys back for a year so that basically you have 6-year-old girls with 5-year-old boys. And one of the things he notes is that a lot of better off families already do this, but a lot of families who can't because they need basically school as childcare, you know, the kid goes and he's not ready and he struggles. And again, that sets everybody up for disappointment.
Tom in North Branch, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Larry. I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm calling. I grew up in a family of 7 boys, and no girls. My poor mother.
I love your mom.
And I've often wondered how different our lives would have been if we had had that girls in the family, or even at least one sister. If we would have been different boys than we were when we were all boys.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting thought.
I wonder about that myself. I have four boys. I have no daughters. In some ways, and we don't know, right? But in some ways, I do feel like it would be good for them if they had had a sister, because it would be, it would give opportunities to talk about girls' experience in ways that it's just not the same when they're there. And just the energy would be different. I mean, Tom, seven boys around the dinner table. I have an idea that was a little loud and rather chaotic sometimes. And you don't know what it would be like, but I do think that there's benefits to boys and girls in the same family. And that doesn't happen for everybody, but that is also why it's important to support friendships with people of all genders, right? To get that experience and to learn what other people experience in the world.
My father-in-law grew up, he had five sisters and he was the youngest and he was, the one boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they were kept trying. So he had sort of the opposite of you, Tom. Oh my gosh. You know, you talked about, one of the things you talk about is ADHD, too,
yeah.
And there's more of that among boys than, or at least what's attributed ADHD to boys than to girls.
It's an interesting question, because right now still there are more boys diagnosed with ADHD than girls. And there is some question, is that because the stereotypical presentation of ADHD, the hyperactivity part, this constant motion, yeah, is more apparent and more disruptive. Girls who have ADHD, it tends to be more of the inattentive type. And so, you know, could just be staring off into space and daydreaming. And if it's not disruptive to a classroom, who's going to see it and diagnose it? So that's a question. It's also been a question, you know, are there boys who are diagnosed with ADHD when really they are just healthy, active, typically developing boys who are being asked to sit still for way too long when they're 4 years old and 6 years old and 8 years old. And personally, this is my belief. I think that we have become increasingly intolerant of movement and motion and noise and chaos. And I would like to see that change, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, you've done a really nice job with your book here. As I read through the book, I thought, man, this would be anybody who has a boys, raising boys. And then I thought teachers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, even those with without boys but with girls will learn a whole lot about they'll learn a whole lot about kids by reading your book. And I want to thank you so much. Boy, the time flew, Jennifer.
It sure did. Thank you. And thank you to everybody who called in and shared your observations.
I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody, but that's kind of the way it usually goes on the show. Jennifer, thank you again.
Thanks, Larry.
Jennifer Fink is the creator, by the way, of buildingboys.net. You might want to check that out, buildingboys.net. She's the co-host of the podcast On Boys, Real Talk About Parenting, Teaching, and Reaching Tomorrow's Men. And her new book is what we've been talking about today. It's titled Building Boys, Raising Great Guys in a World That Misunderstands Males. All right. So thanks to her very much. And thanks to you for listening. Tomorrow, my gosh, it's Friday already. Garden Talk, Liz Freemuth is back to talk about tree and shrub recommendations, especially for smaller yards. That's tomorrow. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.